A very good morning to you all, brothers and sisters, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn with me in your Bibles in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians, chapter 4. We're going to read from verse number 17 through to verse number 32. Ephesians chapter 4, we're reading from verse number 17 to verse number 32. But let's pray as we come to the word of Lord, of God. Father, for the privilege we have to listen to the reading and the preaching of your holy word, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can do so in this country without fear of persecution. We do pray, O Lord, this morning that you may be with us as you speak to us through your word. I pray for the clarity of speech and the unction of the Holy Spirit. Would you hide me, Lord, behind you, and would you use me as an instrument in your hands, that your holy name will be honored and glorified. Amen. So I tell you this, and I insist on it in the name or in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Well, this morning, brothers and sisters, I just want to draw your attention to two verses from the passage that we've just read. That is verse number 26 and verse number 27. The book of Ephesians can be divided into two main parts. The first part, which is the first three chapters, deal with the theory of what it means to be a Christian. And the second part, which is from chapter 4 to chapter 6, deals with the practical life of a Christian, how we should live as Christians. And one of the key phrases in this section can be found in chapter 5, verse number 8. It says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light." Now, there are many things mentioned in this section that should characterize our lives as children of light. And one of them is to learn to control our anger. I've entitled this message, Control Your Anger. A story is told of a certain man who woke up one morning at 5 o'clock to a noise that sounded like someone was repairing boilers on his roof. Still in his pajamas, the man went out to find out what was happening. He found a bird called a woodpecker on the TV antenna. It was busy hitting its little brains on the metal pole. Angry at the little creature who ruined his sleep, the man picked up a stone and threw it. The stone flew over the house and he heard a distant crash as the stone hits his own car. In utter disgust, the man took a vicious kick at a thick lump of dirt, only to remember too late that he was still in his bare feet. The moral of the story is this: uncontrolled anger, as this man learned, can sometimes be its own reward. Our text tells us, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. The Bible also tells us in Psalm chapter 4, verse number 4, in your anger, do not sin. There are three questions I would like us to consider this morning as we look at these two verses. The first question is, how can a Christian be angry without committing a sin? What kind of an anger we should exercise as Christians in order that our anger may not lead us to sin against the Lord? Well, let me put it this way. When is it right for a Christian or for a believer to be angry? The first part of our text, which is verse 26, gives us two instructions. Be angry, and at the same time, do not sin. The verb translated be angry can also be rendered be furious. Now, what we have here, brothers and sisters, are two instructions, a positive one and a negative one. In the positive instruction, we are commanded to be angry. In other words, there are times whereby it is right for us as Christians to be angry. To be angry is not always a sin. The second command, however, suggests that there is an anger that is sinful. But now let's look at the anger which is not sinful. What kind of an anger is that? To be angry and not sin, it's when we have a righteous anger. The anger at sin or at something that is evil. The anger that is not selfish, but that which is concerned about the glory of God. Matthew Henry says, if we would be angry and not sin, we must be angry at nothing but sin, and we should be more jealous for the glory of God than for any interest or reputation of our own. To be angry and not sin as Christians, we must exercise the same anger that the Lord Jesus Christ expressed when he found men selling cattle and sheep and doves and others sitting at tables exchanging money in the temple court. As we read from John chapter 2, verse number 14. The Bible tells us that the Lord made a heap, a whip of cord, and drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. You can imagine that. That was anger. Verse 16 says of John chapter 2, to those who sold doves, he said, get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a marketplace? Was the Lord justified to be angry? Yes, he was. Why was he angry? Was it a selfish anger? No. It was because they have turned the place of worship into a marketplace. And as I think of that, a question comes to my mind. When Jesus visits your church where you are a minister, what does he find there? Has your church been turned to a marketplace where the minister is raising funds for himself? To be angry and not sin, we must also express the same kind of anger that Nehemiah expressed at the injustice of the Jewish leaders who exacted their fellow Jews to pay unreasonably high interest. Let's read a couple of verses from Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 1. Just a couple of verses. It's actually verse 1 to 12. I'm not going to read the whole section. It says, now the men and their wives raised a great outcry against their Jewish brothers. Some were saying, we and our sons and daughters are numerous. In order for us to eat and stay alive, we must get grain. Others were saying, we are mortgaging our fields, our vineyards, and our homes to get grain during the famine. Still others were saying, we had to borrow money to pay the king's tax on our fields and vineyards, although we are of the same flesh and blood as our countrymen. And though our sons are as good as theirs, yet we have to subject our sons and daughters to slavery. Some of our daughters have already been enslaved, but we are powerless because our fields and vineyards belong to others. Nehemiah says in verse 6, when I heard their outcry and these charges, I was very angry. Now, let me ask you a question. What is it that irritates you? What is it that makes you angry? And when you are angry, are you angry for the right reason? Or are you angry for your own selfish reason? One writer says, a person who is angry on the right grounds, against the right persons, in the right manner, at the right moment, and for the right length of time, deserves great praise. For you to be angry and not sin, you need to make sure that your anger is righteous. You need to learn to control your anger. Second question. When does anger become a sin? When is it sinful for a Christian to be angry? The second part of verse 26 in our text back in Ephesians chapter 4 tells us that anger becomes a sin when it is cherished, when it is kept, when it is not dealt with in a right way. We are told, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Anger becomes a sin when it is not dealt with. The same instruction is given in Psalm chapter 4, verse 4. In your anger, do not sin. When you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. You know, brothers and sisters, when anger is not dealt with immediately, it becomes hatred. And it may cause us to hold grudges. And therefore, it becomes an unrighteous anger. Now, in other words, what we taught here is that as Christians, as we get angry, we must learn to control our anger. Because uncontrolled anger may result in sin. Now, there is no way you can be a Christian and yet have someone you haven't spoken to for many years. It breaks my heart when I hear people who claim to be Christians saying openly, I will never greet so and so. I don't want to even see their face. Even at church, when we greet, we shake hands, I just go past as if I don't see them. And that raises a question. Is that person really a true Christian? By the way, anger is also listed as one of the fruits of the flesh, especially when it is an unrighteous anger. A true child of God cannot entertain and cherish resentment in his or her heart. Prolonged anger may lead to vengeance. And God does not allow us to do that. Romans chapter 12, verse number 17 and verse number 19. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. Cherished and unresolved anger can also lead to murder. And this can be seen clearly in the story of Cain and Abel. Cain became angry with his brother and held a grudge against him for absolutely no reason. Why? It wasn't Abel's fault that God didn't accept Cain's offering. It wasn't his fault at all. Even when the Lord rebuked him, he did not repent. He said to him, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do what is right, sin lies at the door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Anger also becomes a sin when it is easily aroused. Proverbs chapter 29 verse 11 tells us, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. Do you control your anger? Hey, there's nothing painful like sitting at the pews, listening to an angry pastor preaching. But of course, there are days whereby the Lord takes control as you preach, because the message of the day is supposed to express that righteous anger at sin. The Bible tells us in Numbers that God became angry with the Israelites who participated in the worship of Baal of Peor. He became angry. But we need to learn to control and to deal with our anger. James tells us in James chapter 1 verses 19 and 20, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For a man's anger does not work the righteousness of God, or does not bring the righteous life that God desires. One of the reasons why we often sin when we angry is because we are easily led to be angry. And sometimes we even angry when you don't even know the whole story of what is happening. You just hear one side of the story and then all of a sudden you are angry. That's why the Bible says we must be slow to become. In other words, you need to have proper grounds. You need to investigate and be sure that this, what you are angry about, it's really wrong. It's a sin. And of course, this is a process, isn't it? It doesn't happen overnight. We grow in our spiritual lives as Christians. We also grow in the way we deal with our anger. As one of the students, I remember one day, I had an issue with the student council. I can't remember what it was. To an extent that no one could maintain me until the former principal called me. And he sat me down, we spoke. And then at the end of the story, he said, no, you had a right to be angry. They were wrong. But you went too far. You failed to control your anger. Therefore, I will discipline you. For the whole 2 weeks, you're going to clean the dormitory. And he read me this verse. A man's anger does not work the righteous life that God desires. Learn to control your anger. And for you to be able to do that, when someone sins against you, make sure that you deal with it immediately. Matthew 18, a very known passage. When your brother or sister sins against you, you must go to them. Don't go and speak about them. No, no. Go and speak to them. I always tell that to my church members when they come to me with a complaint. My first question is, have you spoken to them? They'll say, no, Pastor. I say, no, no, cool down. Have you spoken to them? It's all right. First step, go and speak to the person. If he or she does not listen, get a fellow Christian. Don't get your friend who is going to stand with you. And most of the time, the story or the problem is often resolved just between the two of them without me as a pastor intervening. Matthew Henry says, though anger in itself is not sinful, yet there is the utmost danger of becoming sinful if it is not carefully washed and speedily suppressed. Verse 31 actually tells us of the same chapter that anger and all bitterness and wrath are some of the things that must be removed from those who claim to be Christians. Now let me leave you with these questions before we move to our last point. When you become angry, do you deal with it immediately? If you have people in your life that you haven't spoken to for many years and claim to be a Christian, you need to go back and resolve it. I know there are some people who haven't forgotten that they have got an unresolved, because it has just become like a normal life, you know? Because when you cherish and not resolve your anger, it becomes part of your life. And if you have got a grudge against someone that you're not willing to go and resolve it, then it becomes part, and it becomes as if it's normal. Just as it is normal for some Christians to stay together when they are not married. They have just let it happen and then it's fine. And God will understand. Just as it is normal for other people to steal. Because they're stealing for those who have. It has just become that one sin which, so to speak, has become acceptable unto them. They are at peace with it. We all have got our weaknesses, isn't it? And we all have the responsibility to deal with them accordingly. Last question. Why must we as Christians not cherish anger? Why must we deal with our anger immediately? Verse 27 tells us that cherished anger, unresolved anger, gives the devil a foothold in our lives. It opens an opportunity for the devil in a believer's life. You know, the devil is an opportunist, isn't it? He is always looking for opportunities to discredit and bring down those who belong to Christ. When our anger is not controlled and is not dealt with, it gives him a foothold. The Bible warns us, isn't it, about the devil in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be self-controlled and alert. Why? Because our enemy, the devil, walks around seeking whom he may devour. And that someone is none other than you and me. He's not content. He's not concerned about those who belong to him. He's concerned about those who belong to Christ. Be careful, therefore, that you do not unknowingly or you do not unintentionally open the door for the devil to take control of your life. But we also need to understand that unresolved anger does not only give the devil a foothold in our life, it also destroys our own spiritual life. When you as a Christian have a grudge against someone, that grudge destroys you. It destroys your own relationship with God. A writer by the name of Mark Twain correctly says the following. Anger is an acid that can do more harm to the vessel in which it is stored than to anything on which it's poured. Let me repeat that. Anger is an acid that can do more harm to a container in which is kept than to anything on which it is poured. In other words, when you keep anger, that anger destroys you, not the person you are angry against or angry at. So be careful that grudge you are holding does not eventually destroy you. You can't put coals on your chest and expect not to be burned. I'm sure no one likes to be a fleshy or a worldly Christian. Like Paul tells the Corinthians, I couldn't address you as brothers or as spiritual. Why? Because you're still worldly. Well, let me conclude. What have we learned today? Firstly, we have learned that there is a righteous and an unrighteous anger. There are times whereby it is right for us as Christians to be angry, just as our Lord Jesus Christ and even God the Father himself also gets angry when we sin. In Secondly, we have learned that for us as Christians to be angry and yet not sin, we must be angry at sin. We must be angry, in other words, for the right reason. Also learned that to be angry and not sin, we must learn to control our anger. We mustn't always be easily led to be angry. When always you are led to be angry, always people are wrong and they've always irritated you, you must be careful that there might be a problem with your own spiritual life. We've also learned that we must not cherish our anger, for it gives the devil a foothold and it destroys our own spiritual life. Let me leave you with this question. When you get angry, how long do you get angry? Do you have people you're still angry with since last year or 3 years ago? And if you have that, I would like to challenge you this morning to go back and resolve that. God says to you or to us this morning, in our anger, we must not sin. And when we become angry, we must not let the sun go down while we're still angry. Why? For that gives the devil the foothold. Well, may the Lord bless us and be with us, brothers and sisters, as we learn to control our anger. Let's pray. Just take a moment and think about your own life in terms of how you deal with those who wrong you and how you deal with your own anger as we come before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, dear Lord, this morning. We thank you for your word. That, Lord, you challenge us and rebuke us through your word to deal with our anger in a right way and in a way that brings glory and honor to your name. Father, you know our lives and you know our weaknesses. You know the things that we struggle with in our own Christian life. It is our prayer, O Lord, that you may help us in this area of anger to be able to deal with it in a way that will bring glory and honor to your name. Teach us, O Lord, to be angry for the right reason at the right person and for the right length of time, lest our own spiritual lives is destroyed. Go with us, O Lord, the rest of this day, the rest of our lives. Help us not just only to be hearers of your word, but also to apply it in our own daily lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.